choices have consequences. If you've ever had a lesson from somebody that's wise, that's probably one of the things that they've taught you. When I was younger, I went to a private school, and it would have taken me 45 minutes to get from my house to the school if I took the school bus, which was really only about a 20-minute drive. So my father took me to school most mornings, and to say the least, I was a captive audience. He would try to instill in me wisdom and give me world and sage advice. And his biggest wisdom, his nugget of wisdom, was about the idea of consequences. Not to just think about what your choice means for today, but what your choice means for tomorrow and for years to come. As he would say, think three steps ahead. Just because something looked good today doesn't mean that it's going to be good for you later on. And that's what we hear this morning as we come to our book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. We hear the prophet Moses talking to the people that he's come to love, the people that God called him to bring out of Egypt and out of slavery and into the promised land. And granted, there was a few years, about 40 or so, where they kind of went around the same tree for a while. But Moses knew that they were going to be God's people, to live out what he had promised them. And this is Moses' final swan song, if you want to call it that, the last time he's going to speak to the people, because he himself is not going to go into the promised land with them. So let's listen to these words from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to give his commands, decrees, and laws, then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land and you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may live the love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord, you've put so many wonderful things in our lives, so many choices that we have, so many things that can be part of our lives. And sometimes we don't even think about the choices we're making or the consequences that come with those choices. Lord, we ask you today as we listen to this message that you open our hearts and our minds and our hearts so that we can hear what we should be doing to choose life, to choose good, to be your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever stopped to consider how many choices you make every single day? What time to wake up, whether or not you're going to exercise that day, if you want to go to work or not, what to have for breakfast, and that's usually within the first half an hour of your day. Many of our choices are routine. They aren't really anything we even have to think about. Of course, we choose to brush our teeth before we leave the house, I hope. Right? Okay. But I wonder if we ever stop to consider how many things come at us all the time, trying to make our choices for us or trying to sway us in a different direction. It takes a lot of time to think about things when we're thinking about the major things, but those little things, those impulsive choices, they keep coming at us every day. Recently, my family and I were blessed to be able to go away over 2019 on a cruise, and I swear that as soon as we came in the house, put our bags in the kitchen, and I looked at Facebook, there were already ads about how I needed to go on another cruise and spend all my money on something that was fun. And I'll be honest with you, it was pretty tempting to do that because I wanted to have that thrill again. And I was thinking, wait a minute, I haven't even budgeted this out and thought if I could get the time off or anything like that. But that's how sometimes we're asked to make our choices, by the way we feel, by what it does for us, by that subtle luring or temptation that says, oh, it's not going to matter, just go ahead and do it. Sometimes we eat potato chips while we sit and watch TV and don't even think about it, and we gain weight. Maybe we buy things throughout the week and think, oh, it's not a big deal, it's just a cup of coffee or something, but then at the end of the week when we look at our budget, there's not any money to do the things that we need to do. Or maybe we sit in front of the television watching hours of mindless television that only brings negativity into our house and forget about the opportunities to do the other things that we should be doing. Now, I'm not talking today about major life switches or major decisions in your life. I'm talking about those little tiny decisions, the ones that you just have to make on a quick second idea, the ones that you think, oh, it's not going to have much consequence. I recently went to those little free library boxes, you know, the ones I'm talking about outside of supermarkets or grocery stores or even the drugstore where I got mine. And I looked inside and saw a book that really caught my attention. It was by Peter Walsh, and it's called Lose the Clutter, Lose the Weight. I'm like, okay, I could lose some clutter and I could lose some weight. Sounds good to me. I had seen Peter Walsh on television shows before doing his organization expertise, and I thought, there's no reason why I can't pick up this book. Actually, there were two reasons I picked up the book. One, it was free, which I'm a sucker for a free book. I'm kind of a book junkie. And second of all, my last child went away to college this past fall, and I don't know about you after your children leave the house, but my house looks something between a rummage store and a storage unit. They have become minimalist, my daughters, but they seem to accept the fact that they want to keep all of their stuff at my house, so I don't get to be a minimalist. Over the first 10 years of our marriage, my husband and I moved 5 times in our first 10 years. And it seemed like we didn't have much stuff. We couldn't accumulate things. We had to keep packing and moving, so it wasn't a big deal. But we've been blessed to be in our house now for 17 years. And it seems after 3 teenage daughters have left the house, there's a lot of clutter and a lot of chaos. And so I thought, this book is going to be good for me. I'm going to read everything about it. And basically, Peter Walsh talks about choice. He talks about the idea of getting rid of things that don't mean anything to us anymore, have any value in our lives, about not buying something new just because it's on sale and you think, oh, I might need that someday, or about putting things to our lips without thinking about it, making ourselves feel better by the food that we eat. He claims we need to be mindful about the choices, the little choices that we make. And he challenges people by saying 3 things. One is that ratty old t-shirt that you have in your drawer that you had when you were 21 and you got on the beach at that little carnival store that will never fit you again probably shouldn't stay in your drawer keeping clutter. Another was, why do you go to TJ Maxx or Target and peruse the clearance aisles when half of the things on there you'll never use anyway? Or why do you sit with food after dinner when you're full to fill yourself up? He says that these are all things that we do mindlessly, trying to squelch some kind of emotion that we have in ourselves. And unfortunately, what it does is it leads to consequences that aren't necessarily good for us. If we choose not to brush our teeth, we spend a lot of money at the dentist's office. If we choose to overstuff our house with things that we don't really need or use, we tend to get frustrated and feel disorganized and have stress come into our lives. If we choose to buy things that we don't need, well, at the end of the month, our credit card debt might be more than we anticipated and cause us to stress. And if we eat too many chips, well, I don't need to tell you what happens then because I think you'll figure it out. It was Sir Isaac Newton in his 3rd law of motion that stated, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Now, I'm not a physicist, and I don't ever claim to be, but I believe what he says is true even for us. For every single thing we do, every single choice we make, every single action that we have, there's going to be a consequence. And that's truly what I believe the book of Deuteronomy is trying to tell us today, Moses and his sermon. It's pretty clear cut. It's not rocket science. It's the idea of making a choice between being prosperous and blessed or having difficulty and destruction in our lives. Choices and consequences. If we choose to follow God, we grow closer to Him. We love Him with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, walk in His ways, keep His commands, and we're blessed. If we choose to turn away from God, allow our hearts to seek after other things, disobey His will and His commands, walk in our own strength and not using God's strength, and love the things of the world more than we love God, then we have curses. That's Moses' word. So basically, it's two choices. Live well, increase in happiness, love God and keep Him in your purposing, or live unhealthy and have difficulty and strife, and don't live as God intended you to live. And it all really echoes back to the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve and their first dealing with that whole little word, free will. Now, there's times that I think about it, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have free will, if God just said, do this, and we knew what to do? But that's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who wants us to love Him because we want to, not because we have to. Think about it in your own relationships. You wouldn't want somebody forced to love you, and you wouldn't want to be forced to love someone else. And that's why we were given free will, to choose whether we follow God or we don't. But the problem is there's no real middle ground. To be blessed, we need to follow God's ways and follow His laws and follow His will. Or to live out the other way makes our life more difficult. And I truly believe that it was God's intention from the very beginning when He made humanity that we be in relationship with Him. And the whole of the scriptures talk about bringing us back and bringing us back and having a relationship with us. You see, free will's a choice to return His love or not, to give God back our hearts or to keep them for ourselves and to follow things that don't bring us close to Him. And that's the problem, because we can have that sneak into our hearts very quickly. Those little choices we make that we think are inconsequential, that don't really add up to a whole bunch of stuff, can sometimes cause our hearts to turn away from God. And if we continue to do it on a constant basis, we move further and further and further away from Him. And that's not how we will live a rich and blessed life. It's not to say that there won't be difficulty in our lives. It's not to say that things happen to us that are beyond our control. It's not to say that there are some things that we just can't overcome. But I'm talking about those little choices, the ones that we can choose to enrich our lives with or not. Back to that moment in the garden when Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent. That's what sometimes we allow ourselves to be. Deceived by our ego, deceived by our pride, deceived that we can do things in our own strength, that our fierce independence is the way that we should be, and that we shouldn't depend upon God or anyone else. And that's when our human nature rails against God. That's when we act out of emotion or out of strength rather than looking to God for what His will is. That's when our pride takes over or our thrill of the chase happens and we decide that we're not dependent upon God. His ways aren't any fun. We're not going to follow that. And we deceive ourselves because that momentary thrill, that momentary emotional satisfaction isn't lasting. When we seek to follow God, when we seek to foster His ways, when we seek to do His will, the consequences are more blessed than we can ever imagine. But we live in this thing called culture that struggles against that. It tells us that we have to be independent. It tells us that we have to take care of ourselves. It tells us that we're in control. And unfortunately, when we step out of God's will and do those things, we find ourselves in problems, financial problems, spiritual problems, moral problems, emotional problems. And we truly are living by ourselves, individualistic, but not in the will of God. I don't think God curses us at all. I think we sometimes do that to ourselves. God truly wishes the best for us. He wants us to love Him and to surrender our hearts to Him and to follow Him and to be blessed. And we are the ones that are the stumbling block. When we refuse to surrender ourselves, when we refuse to turn our heart to him, we feel defeated and feel like he's left us alone, when truly we've been the ones that stepped away. If we only understood that following God's ways truly brings blessing, and that's what he wants for our lives. If we understood that when we work through God's power and not our own power, we have better strength and greater things happen to us than we could ever plan for ourselves. Now, I'm not speaking a prosperity gospel like some people do, where they say, just pray to God and God will give you the intentions of your heart. I do believe God wants the best for us, and he wants us to have the intentions of our heart, but our intentions have to be aligned with his will. And when we are aligned with God's will, when we are doing things because we've asked God first to come into those decisions, then we are blessed because we are doing things beyond our control. When we align ourselves with God, we do exactly what Deuteronomy says. We follow God, even when it's unpopular. We grow in relationship with God, even when it's difficult, making him a priority over some of the other things that we'd rather be a priority. When we love God and one another, we are doing the work of God and showing how we can care for others, even when they're unlovable. When we walk by faith, we're beacons of light in a dark world, and people are wondering what we have that they don't have. And when we keep God's commands before us, we do things correctly. Both big and small decisions are easily done because we know what God's will is for our lives. And I believe just like Israel was created as a people, not because they were more special than anyone else, but because they were chosen by God to be a reflection of his glory in the world, we too can be that in our communities. We can show that we've aligned ourselves with God and we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're accomplishing things far beyond our human abilities because God is blessing us in them. And that is the best advertisement that God could ever have. Better than a $5 million Super Bowl commercial. But it takes being mindful. It takes taking time to realize that every single action and every single choice we have has a consequence. And that there are things beyond our control, but in the things that we do have within our control, we need to really be mindful in how we choose. So I can just imagine you saying, oh boy, wow, Pastor Cindy, that seemed like a pretty rough sermon. I think it's great that you have the idea that I'm able to do all that, to align myself with God and make choices like that. But it seems pretty hard. And I'd say, yeah, it is. Faith isn't something that's just given to us because it's a gift. It's something we need to work out. The scripture tells us that. And it has to be a choice that we make every single day. But I can promise you one thing with complete and ultimate certainty, that if you choose to walk in faith and align your decisions with God's will, you will be better off and more blessed than you would be if you did it in your own power. Will it be difficult? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. So how do we start? We take baby steps, one foot in front of the other. I won't sing the song, Nancy. But even before you make a choice, you should think and pray and ask God to help you be mindful about the godly choice, the godly option. And even when no one else is looking, you should be able to glorify God in your actions. I've heard many a person say that, you know, there's that time when I'm in the grocery store and I'm putting my cart next to my car and I think, wow, there's a lot of snow. I don't want to put my cart back in the receptacle where they're supposed to go. I'll just leave it next to my car. Perfect place to start with the small steps. God's glory would be to do the right thing, even when no one else is looking. And even when our human nature tells us to choose things that are luring and are tempting, they aren't there for the long run. They aren't going to help you in the long run. They're going to be things that just tickle your fancy for a little bit of time. Choices have consequences, even the small ones. And so it's important for us to really make sure that we walk in God's ways when we make those decisions. And many small choices will eventually lead up to a way of life, almost like motor memory when you're starting to do something with your muscles. You don't even have to think about it. It just becomes rote to you. And your heart and your character and your future will be blessed. And the people that are in your circles of influence, and I especially think of our children and our grandchildren, will have a character to follow, someone who seeks after God that they too can emulate. I believe that we see God's will and ways regularly when we do the right thing. And if we allow that to become part of who we are, then we too will be making a difference in the bigger world. We need that in our world, in this place where there's darkness and difficulty, in this place where people think that they can take shortcuts and not get caught, in the places where it seems like a lot of people don't think consequences matter. We need beacons of light who bring peace and see that God's commands are not burdensome, and who have their eyes open to the truth, and who are willing to be strengthened by God's Holy Spirit so that they can make choices in the world that better the world. Now, the other part of this is important to us too. We're not always going to do this right. I don't do it right either. I can stand up here and preach all the time about whatever, but I have to go live it out as well. But the blessing is that we have a God that forgives us each and every day. We have a God that sent his son Christ to come to this world to give us a way of repentance, a way of being able to be in relationship with God. We have a God who gathers us to himself and wants what's best for us and gives us a second try. So this morning, as we celebrate communion in just a few moments, I want us to be mindful of that sacrifice, that the God who loves us more than we can imagine gave of himself completely to come down to this earth and be one of us and to die on a cross for our forgiveness. And when we may not always do the things we should, and we sometimes have to bear the burden of the consequences of bad decisions, God is always there with open arms to bring us in, to love us, and to forgive us. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to be your people. We thank you for the opportunity to be the ones that bear your name into the world. We thank you that you always give us a way to come back to you through forgiveness. And we thank you that you've given us free will, even though it's sometimes hard. Help us to make choices that are in alignment with you. Help us to make choices that bring us blessing. And help us to be people that are blessings to others. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.